Good afternoon, everyone. I want to first of all thank you all for coming out on this last day of APHA. I wasn't expecting to see this many people, but it's always good to see people that are interested in something that I think is really, really important to public health, which is accreditation. I want to thank my co-presenters for joining me here. Thank you, Dr. Kurtz. Dr. Kurtz is actually one of the first people that I met who was really involved in accreditation a few years ago at the Texas Public Health Accreditation Conference in Austin. So he's been a great asset to us in Texas as we have a number of departments that are actually pursuing accreditation. So without further ado, it is all fun and games until someone gets accredited. So why did we pick the title of this? Everybody, well, I won't say everybody, but a lot of people have heard of accreditation, public health accreditation, and most of us are aware and are either pursuing accreditation ourselves in our individual departments, or we are aware of other departments that are actually pursuing accreditation. One of the challenges that we've been finding, though, is how do we get staff engaged? How do we actually generate that buy-in and make accreditation something that people want to do and understand the importance of? And so we had a slightly different approach at Houston in order to really get our staff to engage and buy into the accreditation process. And we'll talk about that throughout this presentation. I have nothing to disclose, no financial relationships before we get started, so move quickly past that. A little bit about Houston. So Houston has a population, the city, of about 2.1 million in a land area of about 600 square miles. So it's a pretty big, large, spread out metropolitan area. Our Harris County population, which includes a lot of the metropolitan area, is about 4.1 million. We serve as a health department about 2.2 million people. We have almost 1,200 staff, and our accreditation staff currently consists of two full-time staff and one temp, but we've had up to about five total staff, including three full-time staff and two temps at different times. But typically, we're a small team for a department the size that we are. Just a little bit about the demographics also of our department. Like I said, our department is about 1,200 people. About 73% of our staff are female, 27% are male. Approximately 50% of our staff are age 40 to 60. The demographic breakdown, we have about 49% of our staff are African American, 29% Hispanic, around 12% Asian American, around 11% Caucasian. So that is actually very important because that determined how we then proceeded to engage our staff in accreditation with some of the activities, some of the fun activities that we did. So why engage staff with accreditation? Why not just put together a team of about two or three people and just get it done? That's one way to do it. That's one way some departments have done it. But we believe that the best way to actually make accreditation a sustainable thing and embed it into the practice of your department is actually to engage the whole staff from the bottom up. So because the staff has to create the documentation that you're going to use for accreditation. So it'd be best if they understand the process of accreditation and why they are creating documentation in the way that they need to. Staff has to consent to and sustain change. Yes, leadership can implement and dictate certain policies, certain changes within the department, but it really is up to staff to accept it in order for it to be sustainable. And staff will build upon and improve what they embrace. So at the end of the day, when one day our team is gone, we want to make sure that it's something that's built into the culture of the department and that staff will continue to develop and improve upon the processes that we've already begun. So, why make it fun? This goes into a lot of cognitive theory, dealing with adult learning. Learning and memory science tells us that brains learn and memorize better during fun activities. Positive context equals a positive emotional association. So if somebody views something as fun or positive, they're more likely to retain the information that you teach them. It creates a sense of reward at the individual level. And the cognitive science also shows that giving people little small wins, positive reinforcement really helps to retain information. And it popularizes what is seen as generally a boring idea. For the most part, people don't get out of their seats and jump for joy at the thought of accreditation. Maybe a lot of us who are in the room do, because, you know, that's what we do. It's in our heart. But for the most part, people don't. And Fab, I love you guys, but I'm not trying to pick on you. But, you know what we're dealing with. People like me and David love it. Okay, so one of the first things we did was start to look at ways that we could create some general interest and excitement around accreditation. This is because of a mock site visit that we conducted last year. So when we conducted this site visit, what we found is that we did a sample of all of the measures that we were responsible for as a local health department. We're responsible for 97 measures, FAB standards, in the FAB standards and measures. We took a sample of 36 of those measures and looked at the documentation that we had collected up to that point. Only 17% of those standards, of those measures that we looked at, were actually fully or largely met. And we looked at fully or largely met measure as successful. We know that everything can't be fully. We would prefer everything be fully, but realistically, we're not going to get there. So we looked at it, and we saw only 17%. So the team started to think about ways to actually engage staff and teach about documentation, because we knew that with that quality of documentation, there's no way that we could approach FAB with an application and expect to be accredited. So we started to develop trainings to energize the staff and engage them in documentation. We wanted easy, funny examples of bad and good documentation, and we leveraged cognitive marketing and learning theories in order to do this. We played this game interactively at meetings, predominantly with leadership, but it was open to all. But the idea is that if we could get the leadership engaged in teaching their staff about appropriate documentation, then that was the best start. We have the Schoolhouse Rock bill here because we based our Good Doc, Bad Doc off of this character. And just a full disclosure, no financial relationship with Schoolhouse Rock. So we're not profiting off the use of it. So I'll just show you guys a couple of screenshots of the actual game. What we did first is provide like a just-in-time training where we established five primary types of gaps that we would find in our documentation based on our mock site visit. We looked at gaps dealing with eligibility, formatting, quality, conformity, and if there was anything that was missing or a document was just completely missing. And we provided that training at the beginning of the game. Then we provided samples of documentation within the game, and these samples were designed to give the overall purpose of the documentation guidance, but to be silly and have certain things that people would have to look for that might be a little bit funny. The reason that was done is because it would make people pay attention not only to the requirements of the documentation, but actually read through the documentation to see, okay, what silly thing that they put in here now. So we're actually engaging them on a couple of different levels. Like we have this meeting for the Sharing and Caring STD Network. And we have a vital statistics community outreach sign-in sheet. We know that sign-in sheet doesn't go with the other two documents, so we were actually trying to get people to see, okay, this isn't complete documentation because the sign-in sheet doesn't match. But we also have things like the attendees were barbed wire and Bill Oney. They had a vote about continuing to create the I'm Positive RU stickers. So we did little things like this to actually make people pay attention to the documentation. And what we would do during the actual game is give people handouts. The handouts had on one side the good doc, and you can see him here. He looks very sweet. He has a puppy. And the bad doc on the other side, where the document has a do-rag and a knife. And, you know, he's really bad, tattoos. And he has actually a necklace that says no Fab, you know, Fab crossed out on his necklace. So he's a very bad document. We didn't show him today because we didn't want to frighten anybody. So we did this for a few months, and what we noticed after we went back and did another site visit, another mock site visit, and looked at that sample again, we had a 64% increase in documentation quality. So from 17% largely and fully met, we went up to 81% of our documentation based on the mock site visit largely and fully met, which is huge. And it proved our hypothesis that if we could engage these people on a fun level and make this something that was interesting, we would be able to obtain better documentation. The staff found it easier to grasp the documentation after the trainings. It created a healthy competition because if people were holding up a sign and they had to show back and forth whether they thought it was a good or a bad document, they're competing with their colleagues. Everybody's looking around and can see whether they got an answer incorrect or not, so they had to pay attention. And then we had a little incentive. If they answered the question as to why did you select good or bad, we would give them a choice between a good or a bad treat. So it was all around fun. Created a positive view of accreditation. A lot of people came to us and said, hey, we really didn't view this as fun until you guys started doing this game. Now I understand the documentation a little bit better. And it demonstrates the importance of seeking buy-in. We wouldn't be able to achieve that level of improvement without generating that buy-in. The next thing we did was create a game called Accreditation Cart. Now, this was our big coup de grace in our accreditation process leading up to our site visit. What we realized is that leading into the site visit, yes, our staff was aware of accreditation. Yes, we had done a mandatory training way back when we started and made them watch the FAB site visit, the FAB online orientation. Back in 2011, but we needed to continue to prepare our department for that site visit and engage the staff and educate them. So we decided to create a website, and this website was created solely for the purpose of the site visit. The name of the website is thinkaccreditation.com. If you want to, you can actually go look it up whenever you have some free time. So we created a game based on the Mario Kart, and once again, I have no financial relationship with Mario Kart, so I'm not making any money there either, but hopefully, one day. Okay, so participation was voluntary. We did it on a 10-day point-based competition, and we had multiple modes of engagement, and we had a combination of incentives for staff to actually participate. Now, this is where the demographics of our department come into play. Because in doing this the way that we did with the website, we realized that almost 50% of our staff is age 40 to 60. So we have that boomer generation in there, and they're a little bit tech savvy, but not quite as tech savvy as some of the younger generation. So we didn't want to do too much with a phone or with an app, but most people actually have access to a computer and work on the computer, so we knew that we would probably get the most bang for our buck with a website. But we also recognized that that particular age group does really well with face-to-face trainings. So we decided to do multiple levels of engagement. Face-to-face trainings, brown bags to inform people of site visit. We had the online. The main thing was the online website, as well as other smaller activities that people could engage in to participate in this game. This is a screenshot of the website, and you'll see we have these activities up here towards the top bar, just info about accreditation, contacting us. Once a person has registered on this website, they gain access to quizzes that people could take and gain points for each quiz. We incentivized it by saying the top 150 players gain points would all receive that T-shirt that you saw on the previous slide. The top three players received a $25 gift card and a T-shirt and certificate. The top division received the trophy. So we wanted to engage people at the individual level as well as create competition at the staff level because we know that we have a very competitive leadership. They like to compete against each other. They don't like to lose against one another, but they all love each other. But they definitely want to beat each other down in this game. So here's a screenshot of some of the quizzes that we had. We also set it up so that it would be accessible via the phone, so people can get onto their smartphones and get into this game as well. And you can see on the left side of the screen, we created some competition by showing who's the latest results and what was their score on this particular quiz, so that people can see who's competing right now, who's logged in, and what they need to do to actually compete. Here we have some pictures of some of the activities. We have one of the brown bags for the site visit. Up here, we have one of the winners. This is actually the second place winner receiving her award, Kirsten Short, and our director here. And here's what the certificates look like. They had a Mario-based theme to make them fun and people excited about receiving these certificates. This is our team, our accreditation work group that we recruited because we couldn't do it alone with a team that small. We had to recruit a large group of people to help us. Here's our director with the third place winner in our team with the first place winning division and the trophy. And if you see these shirts, they say, keep calm and think accreditation. This is another way to generate buy-in and ownership and make people feel that this is something that is valuable. So our accreditation work group was set aside as a special group and received these special T-shirts. And they actually have their domain number that they focused on the back as well as their their last name. So people really wanted these T-shirts, and I imagine that the next time we go get around to doing this and we have a new accreditation work group, that we will have more people interested in joining because of the exposure that the accreditation work group received. Some of the things that we did with the website to generate that competition between our divisions was we had an AD challenge. Our assistant directors got a question every morning, and they had to answer these questions by a certain time. Usually the top two winners who answered this question would get a choice of a Mario Kart-type power-up, a mushroom, a banana, a star, something to give them a bonus over these other divisions as they were competing with points. This is an example of someone who got a bad nanogram. Now, a banana in Mario Kart, you could actually throw a banana down onto the cart and trip somebody up, make them spin out. So the bad nana would take away points from another division if they chose this. And if somebody got hit with a bad nana, they would get a bad nanogram delivered to them, and we would actually hand-deliver it on their door or whatever. So we created this board. Now, this is actually, we created a big printout of a poster of this game board and put it downstairs in our lobby so that staff could see it and be able to really track how their division was doing. This was to generate further interest in competing in the game, because they would see if their division was way behind, maybe they would start pushing people to compete. And if you see these trails of icons that are behind these individual players, this particular person won an AD challenge, so they got a mushroom and added points. But then somebody came back and hit them with a banana. They got more points with this mushroom. They actually gained a star one day, which doubled their points the next day. So every day we wanted to engage them a little bit more, give everybody an opportunity to win something at an individual level as well as a division level. And everybody had a Mario Kart character as their mascot for the game. So we really had a good time overseeing this game. Our division leaders were really engaged. We even had one division leader who begged us every day to bad nana another division, even if she did not win. She was like, "Can I just please bad nana this person?" And we're like, "Well, we would love for you to be able to do that because it would be hilarious, but we can't cheat, so you have to win the question." So overall, we really had great engagement, to the tune of we had 71% of our staff that directly participated in this game, either through the website or attending the brown bags or attending the cleanup that we did throughout the department. So for a staff of nearly 1,200, we considered that a great success. There was fierce competition. We had very positive feedback from our staff, and we increased awareness and knowledge about accreditation. Someone came up to our booth here yesterday and began asking one of our staff about accreditation. They stood there for 10 minutes asking them questions about accreditation, and they were able to answer all of the questions because they had played this game. The only thing they weren't able to answer was how much would it cost for reaccreditation, but I don't think that's been worked out yet. Right. So here you have the winner, our director, Mr. Stephen Williams, and my supervisor, Dr. Rauf Arafat, awarding the winner with the accreditation card trophy. So the lessons we learned. Mandatory isn't the only option. If you can generate buy-in and understand the demographics of your department and how to market to them, you don't have to make things mandatory to actually generate interest. And play to your strengths. My team happens to have people who have a background in program evaluation and epidemiology, as well as marketing and cognitive informatics. So we were able to actually use a lot of those things that we had on our team to build this website and actually market to our staff. And it doesn't have to cost a lot of money to do that. We had to spend some money on T-shirts and things like that. The trophy cost $40. $25 gift cards, certificates cost nothing but the ink and the paper that you print on. So you can generate a lot of interest and provide incentives without having to spend a lot. So don't let your budget deter you from using marketing strategies. Define your product and understand your brand. That's the first thing you have to do in marketing to generate the buy-in. If you don't understand what you're selling, you can't sell it. And nobody's going to listen to what you have to say about it. Identify your targets and understand how to sell that particular item to them, and don't do it alone. We had a lot of help, and we could not have done it without that accreditation work group. In conclusion, I'd like to acknowledge my director, Stephen Williams, and Dr. Rauf Arafat for being so supportive of my team, the performance improvement and accreditation team, Two of them are here, Olalade Coker and Lindsay Wigington, Yanchi and Tolope Oluyomi, Olumuyiwa, as well as our HDHHS accreditation work group, our staff, and other supporting departments. Don't be shy in reaching out to other departments because they are there to help you. And I'll have the questions for after everyone is finished. Thank you.